Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus, our precious Savior. His name means everything to us. Calling on his name is the way we get saved. Through his death and resurrection, he paid the penalty for all of our sins and made the way open for any who would come, any who would trust in him, to be there with him on that day. Thank you for the eternal life that each of us here today has because of trust and faith in Christ and his finished work. We pray for any who might be here that don't yet know him. We pray that they would come to know him this morning as they spend time with us here. We thank you for the privilege to worship you and to lift your name on high. And thank you for the honor and privilege to hear the word preached. We pray that you would bless Pastor as he brings the message today. And may our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us. Father, we pray for the unborn today in particular. All the people, I mean, there's millions, I wonder how many right now, who are in the womb at the moment, but will be hitting the scene soon. And Father, we pray that each of these lives would be honored as made in your image, that they would be protected, that the mothers who are carrying them would be watched over and would not be abused or mistreated, telling them to abort their child rather than to keep it and offer for adoption if need be. And we praise you that there are ministries for that as well. Father, we pray that life would be viewed as sacred because it is, and that we would honor you by honoring your creation. And Father, thank you that we can be a part of that as a church, and we pray you'll bless all the ministries in our nation and around the world involved in that. We pray that the efforts of those who believe otherwise, who try to diminish life and encourage its destruction, will be pushed back, that they will be stopped. And we pray that we as a nation would once again re-embrace life rather than death. Father, commit just this day to you in a special way as we think on these things and commit all this to you. Again, we praise you for this hour, and we pray that your purposes will be fulfilled. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Chapter 13. It's a prophetic section here called the Olivet Discourse. We're going to get started on it today. Hope that we'll get some lessons from this as we see the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your constant grace and mercy to us, for your presence, for your power in our lives. And we pray, O Lord, that we would truly walk in fellowship with you and with one another, and love you and serve you and build each other up in our faith, that we might be better servants of God in this day in which we live. Our Father, we know that the world is quite different. The church is a light in the darkness. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, help us to shine brightly, that others might see Jesus, that they might know him and follow him. Lord, as we read the scriptures, we find that things are not necessarily going to get better for a while, but rather worse. So we pray, help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our work in him is not in vain. And we pray that your will be done. Lord, this is our Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we pray that we might truly work in behalf of those who cannot help themselves. Lord, we think of the unborn children. We pray that they might be preserved and kept and be able to grow to maturity. We think of the elderly, our Father, so often that are mistreated and abused. And we pray, O God, for them as well. We just pray, help us to love one another. And those that are in all kinds of trouble, may we seek to help each and every one. We thank you so much, Lord, for your healing power. We think of this Pastor Lee and that he has now survived and is going to be going home. And we pray your blessings upon him in his ministry and pray that you'll use him in a mighty way, as well as each and every one of us who are seeking to serve you. Thank you so much for all your mercy to us. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's turn once again to Mark chapter 13. As I was saying before, the Olivet Discourse is one of the major teaching sessions that Jesus had with his disciples. This is on prophecy. We don't talk a lot about prophecy these days, I guess. For a while there was a lot of prophetic teaching going on, and somehow it's kind of drifted off into the background, but I think with the developments that are taking place in the world today, we may need to return to a more prophetic type of teaching. Anyway, you remember the Sermon on the Mount, of course, is the other major time that Jesus gives us a detailed lesson about how we should live in this world and serve him. And this one, as I say, is a more prophetic type of message. Jesus gave this on the Mount of Olives. That's the reason they call it the Olivet Discourse. It's also recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Actually, there's more material there in Matthew. And then in Luke chapter 21. So we find here, after Jesus finished answering the questions of his adversaries and teaching the people in the temple, he and his disciples left, and as they were leaving, one of the disciples remarked about the magnificence of the temple. You know, they were proud of this beautiful place of worship that God had instructed them to build and that they had done there. Now, this, of course, was Herod's temple. Solomon's temple was no longer there. And now this is the one that King Herod built. He was quite a builder, apparently. Built a number of things there in Israel. And here we find this temple was something very, very magnificent. It was quite a sight to behold. It was huge, as they tell us, and nearly 500 yards long, 400 yards wide, made of white marble and covered with gold plate that glistened in the sun. It says, sitting atop Mount Moriah, it dominated the skyline of Jerusalem and could be seen for miles around. 20 stories high. A beautiful building here that it took, they were working on it for 46 years and it took another 20 years to finish. So they got it finished in 66 years, and then you know what happened in, right after that, right? As soon as it was built practically. Anyway, that's a little bit later in the story. Okay, so we see here about the prophecy about the temple. This a disciple, I'm not sure which one, was all excited about the temple, telling Jesus, hey, Master, look, all these beautiful buildings here. My, we're so blessed. God is here. This is the place where we worship him. And what did Jesus say? He said, you see all these great buildings? There'll not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, he took the wind out of his sails in a hurry, didn't he? What do you think? Oh, my goodness. So no doubt the disciple expected Jesus to be excited about this, impressed. He was amazed, no doubt, to hear what he had to say about it. And Jesus says here that there'll not be one stone left upon another. And this literally took place. You know, it was in 70 A.D. when the Romans under General Titus came against Jerusalem because they had rebelled against the Roman government. And they destroyed the city and they destroyed the temple. And a great fire was set in the process of the battle and so forth. And it melted the gold that was in the temple down into the blocks. So they literally took it apart one block at a time in order to get the gold. And so what Jesus had said here came to pass very, very literally. You remember how Jesus had wept over Jerusalem when he came in his so-called triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. We always remember that. But Jesus had wept when he saw that they were rejecting him, even though they had cried out, you know, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He knew that that wasn't going to last and that they were going to turn him away. Okay, let's look in Matthew 23. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Notice also in Luke 19, verse 42. Luke 19:42 says, he's saying here to the city, weeping over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, because they did not receive the Lord Jesus when he came. He says all this is going to happen. You know, it's a dangerous thing to reject the Lord Jesus. Back in that day, the Jews, yes, but today is the same thing. To reject the Lord Jesus Christ leads to disaster. He is the way of salvation. We sing that so often. We repeat it over and over again. And yet people turn a deaf ear, don't they? Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way of salvation. And how different it would have been if these people had received him. What can you imagine? Of course it would not happen. God had his plan from the beginning, we know that. Just think about what a difference it would make. And you know, someday we'll see that difference. When he comes again, right? And they do receive him, and he's going to set up his kingdom. My, what a difference it'll be. But unfortunately, they rejected him. They turned away and said, we will not have this man to rule over us. And they crucified him, as we well know. So the disciples questioned. Notice here, when Jesus said that, they weren't expecting it. And then we find here, they said, first of all, when shall these things be? Here we have four of the disciples. The three ones that are always with Jesus, and then Andrew, Peter's brother, is also there. And they said, tell us, when shall these things be? What are you talking about? When is this going to happen? They were referring here to what Jesus had said about the temple and its destruction. What would happen? Let's look back again at Luke. He doesn't really give an answer here. Jesus so often did not give a direct answer to people. When they ask him a question, sometimes he kind of avoided the subject and went on to something else. But in Luke chapter 21 and verse 20, Luke 21 and verse 20, Jesus says here, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So Jesus here is telling when this will be, when Jerusalem is surrounded by its enemies. The people are to run, to get away, to seek to save their lives. And then they said, what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? You know, it says that one time, I remember about the Jewish people, they always wanted a sign, didn't they? Show us a sign, show us a sign. And so here, once again, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when they shall be fulfilled? It says also in Matthew 24:3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? Actually, the word there, it doesn't mean that the world's going to blow up. It means that the age is going to come to an end, right? This age that he's speaking about. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? So Jesus begins his answer here with a warning. He says, take heed. Okay? Listen up. Be sure you don't, God, art not deceived. Be alert. Be diligent. Watch out, lest any man deceive you. Now, You know, so often we get deceived, don't we? You know, people tell you everything but the truth, right? We can so easily be deceived, right? And he says, so listen up, make sure that what you're hearing is the correct thing, and don't be deceived. It's Satan's job to deceive us. He's a great deceiver, isn't he? And he does a pretty good job of that. Many, he says, will come claiming to be Christ. You know, over and over again in history, we find all these people coming, oh yes, I'm the Messiah, you know. God sent me, you know. Here I am, the answer to all your prayers. You know, I'm the greatest. And we have some of these people in history back in, that we are not familiar with, but more recently, we've had some of the charismatic leaders and so forth that have led people astray and sometimes to disaster. You remember Jim Jones a while back and David Koresh and the terrible violence and all that took place with them. And Jesus here is warning. He says, there's going to come a lot of these people saying, oh yes, I'm the one that's going to lead you to victory. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And it only leads to death and destruction. You know, there's only one. There's only one Savior, as I said before. And if we follow after anyone else other than Him, we're going to end up in the wrong place. Right? So he's warning the disciples here not to follow someone else that comes along. Or, you know, down through history, in this section, when people come along saying, yes, I'm Christ. I know there was one of the Jewish rabbis up in New York City here. This is more recently. I can't remember his name. Schneerson or something like that. Anyhow, he claimed to be the Messiah and people following him, you know. And they, oh, yes, he's going to set up the kingdom. This old guy is about 90 years old, I guess. I don't know what he was. But anyhow, there's so many of these people. Follow me. But Jesus says, no, you follow me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says here, there will be many wars and rumors of wars. Wow. Think of that. But the end shall not be yet. These are only the beginning of sorrows. Here he says, wars and rumors of wars. The historian Will Durant has written that out of 3,421 years of recorded history, I guess when he said that, there have only been 268 years of peace. I don't know how he figured all that, but anyhow, we well know that somewhere there's a war going on just about all the time, right? And here, and Jesus said, don't be surprised. Because it's the nature of man, it seems, to have conflict and wars. We find peace only in Him, in His teachings. You know, if people would follow the teachings of Jesus and accept Him as the Savior and Lord, my, what a difference it would make, huh? What do you think? And yet, we find these wars continually going on. And then there, he speaks here of the natural phenomena, the earthquakes and troubles and famines and epidemics. He speaks here of the, you know, epidemics that are taking place. And I think we know a little bit about that, don't we? He says all these are the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get worse. I always think of the scripture in Timothy where it says, in the last days perilous times will come. And not to be a prophet of doom. I hope I'm not being a prophet of doom. Because, you know, we're on the right side, I think. Are we? Are we on the right side? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, right? then you don't have to worry about these things except be awake and help others to understand, right? So anyway, all this that I'm saying, I'm not trying to make anybody depressed or anything like that. But to realize this world is not our home. We're only passing through, right? And whatever happens here, it's only for a limited time, and we're going to be going a lot further. Anyway, all kinds of catastrophes are going to come, and he says this is only the beginning of sorrows. Now, he's going to talk about the tribulation, right, a little later, but it hasn't started yet. How do I know it hasn't started yet? Because I'm still here, right? He says it was. He's going to deliver us from the wrath to come, and so if we're still here, we know the tribulation hasn't started yet. But we are in maybe the beginnings of sorrows. It's coming. We see some of these things all around us. This is, characterizes our world and has for quite some time. And there will be persecution, he says in verse 9. Take heed to yourselves. They'll deliver you to councils. They'll be beaten, brought before rulers and kings for a testimony against them. In 1 Peter 4, 1 Peter 4 talks about the persecution. Verse 12. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So, believers will be betrayed by, he says here, by family members and brought to trial. But the Lord will be with them during this time and keep them and help them. And he says, this may be true to a certain extent today, but it'll be more severe as time goes on, and especially as we draw nearer to this time of the tribulation period, the persecution is going to be worse. Verse 10 says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. This is one of the main things that will happen. The good news of salvation, will be proclaimed throughout all the world before Jesus returns in glory. Revelation 7 speaks of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. You remember? They go in to preach the gospel throughout the world during the tribulation time, and a multitude is going to be saved. That's a multitude that no man could number. So even during that time, God is going to be gracious to bring people to himself. And he says here to believers during that time, verse 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought what you shall speak. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Let the Holy Spirit speak in your behalf. And he said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So, he's talking about just keep on keeping on for the Lord, right? And God will deliver you from all that you face in life. Now, this message, of course, was delivered primarily to the Jewish disciples, and it doesn't apply to us directly, I don't think. But it does contain a great deal of lessons that we can learn, because many of these things are taking place today and will come in the future. And we need to be aware and how we can be a blessing to others as time goes on. We certainly need to be careful of false prophets, religious fakes, and not be deceived by them. We need to trust God, not be afraid in the midst of all the conflict and wars around us. We need to be faithful and share the good news of salvation with others until Jesus comes to take us home. And you know, of course, that we're going to go before the tribulation starts, as I said before. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's encouraging words, isn't it? Yes, amen. So praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to that time. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We just pray, help us to understand what the Lord Jesus is saying here to his disciples, and help us to glean from this the lessons that we need to learn, that we might be faithful and serve you each and every day, and love you, and look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. May your holy will be done. Encourage us, strengthen us, help those who are in need, Lord. Be with those who are being persecuted, and may your holy will be done. We look to you with joy in our hearts because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.